And the business is just the extension of the personal brand. I mean, no matter what happens, Microsoft and Apple will always be extensions of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Those are babies that those men gave birth to.
So how do you determine what success looks like to you? Do you base it on the results and outcomes, or on what you've learned along the way? You see, society has conditioned us to tie success to an outcome. But the truth is, failure is an essential part of success. The faster you fail, the faster you will succeed. So the real question is, how can we redefine our relationship with not just failure, but with success as well? Join us to find the answers that will allow you to live a life that's true to yourself and find the clarity you need to make that life a reality. I'm your host, King Lau, and you're listening to the Plan to Fail podcast. What's going on, everybody? It's your boy King here, and welcome back to the Plan to Fail podcast. I want to thank you for tuning into this episode because I have to be honest that I almost decided not to release any new episodes this week. But to be quite honest with myself, I haven't been the most consistent ever since the launch of season 2, and I made it my mission to make sure that even though I didn't get an opportunity to release the episodes I wanted to release, I'm still putting out the content and I'm putting out episodes for you guys to listen to, for you guys to tune in, and for you guys to learn from. It's a commitment to myself and a commitment to each and every one of you. So this week, I really decided to take a different approach and release two interviews I did for the BYOB Summit. And both these interviews I will be releasing this week is surrounding the topic of personal branding and, you know, telling your story. And so for this episode, I really wanted to share the interview I did with Hannah Power for the BYOB Summit. Hannah is a personal brand specialist, and she's honestly one of the best when it comes to what she does. And I know that there's so much you can learn from her. And these interviews I did for the summit, I feel like it's a shame if I don't share it beyond the summit because there's so much value packed into it. So what I really want you to gain from Hannah is just new perspectives on how you can be building your personal brand. Just because as the markets are becoming more and more saturated and overcrowded, it is becoming more important for you to develop a personal brand, an identity that's unique to you. So I really hope that you find value in what Hannah had to share, and new insights on how you can be building your personal brand that's unique to you and to your message. So without further ado, let's jump right into it. So does anyone even know who you are? Do you even know what your personal brand even stands for? Do you even think it's important to have a personal brand? Let me tell you something, that your personal brand is actually more important than your business or company brand. Because your personal brand represents what you stand for, what causes you stand behind. And in today's world, people want to do business with others that have a mission, that stand for a cause, that support certain values. So what do you support? And luckily for you, we have someone that will show you how you can start creating a personal brand that represents who you are. So are you ready to level up? Let's go. Hey everyone, welcome back to the Be Your Own Boss Summit, or BYOB for short, where I'm asking expert entrepreneurs from various backgrounds about what it takes for you to become the boss of your business, and I'll let your business become the boss of you. I'm here today with Hannah Power, an entrepreneur, author, speaker, personal branding specialist, and the CEO of Powerful Leaders, a personal branding agency working with highly driven individuals to support them on their journey to building powerful brands and establishing themselves as online leaders. Hannah believes that personal branding is more than just fancy logos and social media strategies. It's about standing for something and leading a movement with your message. Hannah's mission is to inspire and teach impact-driven leaders to step into their light and share their message with the world through the power of being known online. Hannah, I really want to thank you for taking the time and being on the summit. I honestly really love your approach on personal branding and how it's all about standing for something, leading a movement, and serving others. But since I don't feel like I do it justice to tell our audience about the vast amount of experience you have, would you like to share with them a little bit more about your background and how you got here?
Yeah, of course. First of all, thank you so much for having me, and hello to everybody who's watching. So, Yeah, I guess the best place to start is really right back at the beginning. So when I was 6 years old, my parents launched the first online business network in 1998 called Ecademy, which was all about supporting and connecting entrepreneurs, small business owners, employed people online through the power of social networking. And that was how I grew up, right? That was the world that I grew up in. So that was what I knew: personal branding, building a brand online, the ability for, you know, a small individual to be able to have a big impact was the norm. But what I did experience growing up was some would succeed and some would fail, right? Not everybody was successful with their brands. But it was very clear that this space was growing and that actually we were going to move over the following years to a place where you needed to have a brand to be able to be seen in the world. And that actually not having a brand would actually start to give you a negative view, as opposed to having one would give you a positive and create opportunity. But actually now we're at a point where if you Google the CEO of a company and you can't find anything, it actually can be quite harmful for the brand of the business. So I grew up in this world and I didn't go down the personal branding route straight away. I went and did a law degree and I worked at Accenture. I worked in digital and innovation. And then I left corporate world and I moved over to Bali. I started my first business as an agency. And a year into that, I decided to niche myself into a space of focusing solely on personal branding. It was the space that I loved. I saw opportunity there. I saw a gap where there were amazing people with amazing stories, but they weren't necessarily creators. They weren't necessarily social media savvy. They didn't really know how to bring their message to the world. You know, they were experts at what they did and they had passion, but there wasn't a process to go through, right? They were overwhelmed. You know, this, you hear this all the time, right? A new platform comes out and everyone panics. You know, Clubhouse has come out and everyone's panicked. Do I need to be on Clubhouse? You know, you're getting ads served to you all the time. People are going, do I need a landing page? Do I need a social media this? You know, oh my God, what's this? You know, and everyone's in a panic. And I wanted to remove that panic and create, help people to create their own formula to get their message out into the world. You know, I really believe that micro movements, individuals with a strong message can actually have more of an impact than famous people, right? You know, real people, small people who aren't famous, but have something they really care about, can really create a ripple effect. And, you know, we don't make people famous. We don't get people millions of followers. We're not influencer. I don't know anything about being an influencer. but what we do is help people to gain clarity of who they are, what their message is, who they serve, and help them to serve and inspire and lead that audience. And I think we're at an amazing position in the world now where anyone can change the world. And it's not, it's not said in a, I don't mean this in a really tacky, overly hyped up way, but you know, you can, everyone can change the world for someone. You know, everybody can share something and do something, and we all have things that we're deeply passionate about and we deeply care about, and the internet has meant that we can build businesses like you're doing on this amazing event that you've put on. You can create a business in anything, right? If you know what you're good at and you know what you love and that can serve an audience, you can create a business in it. And I think that's unbelievably exciting, and that opportunity is amazing, but I think there's few people that can give you the step-by-step guide of how to get there. And that's why I created the business, because I wanted that step-by-step guide. So I went, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work out how to do this personal brand thing, how to build this personal brand business. And then once I've worked it out, I'm going to work, help other people to do that.
No, it's, I think it's really cool that you're taking such an approach to it, because I think most people take personal branding as a very surface level. But I feel like that's when I kind of stumbled on your LinkedIn page, I stumbled on your site. I was like, you have a very different approach where it's really about starting a movement. Because when I first jumped into the online space, I was like, oh, I thought I could hide behind the brand. I didn't really understand it at that time. And as I kind of grew, I realized that the power is to inspire, to make a real impact is through yourself, because people follow you, not the company. But I know that a lot of people have like a different outlook on personal branding. Like some people more surface level, some people, you know, more about the message and the meaning behind it. So I guess in your words, what is personal branding? And like, what should a personal brand really focus on?
Yeah, I mean, of course, personal branding can be surface level, right? There's lots of people that do it because they have to, you know, the because I have to personal branding people. They're never successful with their brands. Do you know what I mean? Like, I spend a lot of time telling people not to build a personal brand. We don't need more noise on the internet. Do you know what I mean? Right. We don't need it. I'm not going to convince anybody to build a personal brand. No way. Like, is it going to make your life better? Is it going to mean that you're more fulfilled, that you can have more of an impact, that you can attract more opportunities? Yes. Is it easy? No. Does it take time? Yes. Do you know what I mean? I don't think it's about convincing anyone of anything. I think a really strong personal brand is a leader. That's all it comes down to. That's why the business is called Powerful Leaders, right? It's just about being a leader. You will follow people online that will say they don't have a personal brand, but they have a presence online. They are a leader, right? That's what a personal brand is. It's a leader with something to say and people follow them. So anybody who has followers is a leader. And unfortunately, we don't have the best leaders. Right? We do not have the best leaders to follow online, online or offline. I don't think we have the best people necessarily leading the world, right?
Right.
The more passionate and capable somebody is, from my experience, the less likely they are to actually be a leader, because the more capable somebody is, often the more baggage they have that holds them back. This is what I experienced. This is why I'm doing a coaching qualification at the moment, why I've done so much coaching training, because the more able you are, the often the more you hold yourself back. And that's really, really common. So being a leader, sharing your message, it's not about you. It's about your message. It's about the people that you follow. It's not about self-promotion. People say to me, I'm not good at personal brand. I don't like promoting myself. And I think, good, don't promote yourself. No one cares about your wins. People care about what you have to say. They care about what you can help them to achieve. Strong personal brands help people.
Right. So why would you say that? Actually, this is just, I guess, out of my curiosity. I didn't know that. You know, the more capable you are, the more you hold yourself back. Like, I guess from your experience, why is that actually?
Yeah, I mean, this is a recent thing I've been talking through. I was talking it through with my dad actually the other day. I mean, I'm not saying this is not a general rule. I'm not saying that it's true for everyone. I think, and I think a lot of people work through this stuff. So if you work with a coach or you go to a therapist, you work through self-confidence issues, I think. But I think the nature of becoming top in your field requires you to constantly push yourself. It almost requires you to think you're crap so that you have to work harder.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because to keep pushing yourself, you have to think there's something wrong with you to keep pushing yourself to do. So what I find is that some of my clients who are the most successful, the most qualified, are often the ones who have the least self-confidence. They're the ones that are the most nervous about putting stuff online. Because they've often, you know, they've had to work and push themselves to get here, and they still see a long way to go. If you're somebody who's got a growth mindset, you can see how much more there is to learn. I mean, I think every day I feel like I know less, even though I've learned so much. I feel like I know less. Like, I almost think if I knew how little I actually knew, I would never have started on this journey, because I would be like, you know nothing. Do you know what I mean? I think if you're a growth mindseted person, which I think a strong, a true good leader is, always in the growth mindset, always questioning their beliefs, always pushing themselves to learn more, to be more, to do more. What comes with that is then an insecurity. Does that make sense? Because it's hard to constantly be in growth if you don't then think there's somewhere to grow to. So it's this paradox that I think that we have, which holds us back, because we think, when I get there, then I will be good enough to do X. I mean, I've had conversations with so many amazing people that haven't become clients because they've thought, oh, I'm not right for this, or I'm not ready for this, or I'm not good enough at this. And I think, I look at their CV and I look at some of the people who've got massive big brands, and I think there's a mismatch here. And that's what I mean by, I don't think that we necessarily have the best leaders, because I think there's a gap there. And that's a lot of what we do is, you know, a lot of what we do, I think, is about bigging up our clients and helping them to see themselves how others see them, helping them to see themselves how we see them.
Right. No, why I ask that is because I actually agree with you. I think that it's the best ones are the most self-reflective ones. And when you're in that space where you're willing to reflect and look back at yourself. You know what I mean, a lot of the times you're always questioning yourself, right? For better or for worse. But the fact that you're good is because you keep taking responsibility and questioning yourself instead of just putting it out there.
And you can end up with, you know, you can end up with analysis paralysis. You know, if I think I published a book, I wrote mm-hmm. it in 2019. It's completely rubbish compared to what I know now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I want to do a rewrite of it because I wrote it nearly 2 years ago and I have learned so much in the last 2 years that I feel like that Hannah knew absolutely nothing, right?
Right.
But actually, for somebody who doesn't know anything about personal branding, that book is plenty to get them on their way. But if I had waited to be a personal branding, more of an expert, I never would have written the book and I never would have had a book on the shelves. You have to get to a point where you go, well, I know enough, right? I'm going to learn more, but I know enough to get past this stage. And you get the book out the door or you go and do the speech or you launch the business. But you're never going to get to a point where you think, oh, I'm done. I know everything. Nor should you, especially with a world moving as fast as ours is. But I think if you're a smart person and you've got high standards and you've got all of these things, you can end up being your own worst enemy because then you think, well, I'm not capable enough to do anything yet. And that's why, you know, we use this term start a movement with your message, because your message, a message doesn't need a load of expertise. It just needs a passion and somebody to say it.
Right. No, that makes a lot of sense. But like as you said, like, you need a message. You need to stand for something. Your brand, personal brand, has to mean something, because we don't need more noise in the internet, on the internet, I should say. So what's the difference between personal branding and company branding? And when is it actually appropriate to use either or?
Yeah. So, I mean, personal branding is the person, right? So that's me as Hannah, that's you as King, that's you. And then business branding is the brand of the business. So Powerful Leaders, for example. Both. You should do both, right? Your brand is, you know, that's the representation of your company. I mean, brand is everything. If you actually break down, like, what is, you know, what actually is a brand? I mean, it's the thing that something is known for. It's the thing that people remember. And we've had personal brands and business brands forever, right? Jesus was a very good personal brand who created 12 pretty good followers who went and shared his message. You could think of it as he had 12 social media platforms who he then told them each a different message, and one would go and deliver it in this way and one would go and deliver it in this way, right? So we've had personal brands and then we've had business brands forever. And I think branding both is really, really important. But I don't think if you were going to I think that a personal brand is more powerful. I don't think, like, if you're going to start a business, I mean, Powerful Leaders doesn't really have a brand yet. It's the company's nearly 2 years old, and we our website isn't up. We're still working on that at the moment. We keep rejigging things because we're a startup and things change. We don't have social media pages. I think we've got a LinkedIn page and a Twitter page, nothing on them. There's something on our LinkedIn page. Everything comes through Hannah Powell, right? No one's interested in Powerful Leaders. The logo and a business. People are interested in the story, the message, you know, the passion, the why, the values, and that comes through my brand so much more. So I think that personal brands are more powerful, and the business is just the extension of the personal brand. I mean, no matter what happens, Microsoft and Apple will always be extensions of Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. Those are babies that those men gave birth to. And you know, that the personal brand, the person behind the story of the business, when people tell the story of Apple, they don't tell the story of Apple, they tell the story of Steve Jobs. So do you see what I mean? Like, it's the business is the extension of the person. So I think you're doing yourself a disservice almost. And I think that's why corporate companies and some big companies struggle with personal branding, because it's not their baby. They're not that passionate about it. You know, like, I've gone into corporates before and tried to help people build their personal brands, and they're not motivated. And why would they be, right? It's a job. They've got other things they care about. So that's why this whole business, this whole shift that we're seeing at the moment in society, I think is so exciting, because you're seeing people go and work for companies that they are so passionate about that they do build their personal brands around it. I don't know if you know the software Notion. Have you ever heard of this no code software Notion?
Yeah, I've actually heard Notion. Yeah.
Yeah, and I mean, Notion as a tool, I think, is like one of the most exciting things on the internet at the moment. Like, yes, very little in life excites me as much as Notion. But what excites me even more is that they are building an army of Notion ambassadors who are building their brands around the fact that they love Notion.
Oh, wow.
Because that's how much they care about the company, right? And you see that in other companies. You see that in Salesforce. You see it in Google. You see it in Apple, where people are brand ambassadors because they love the brand so much. But a lot of companies don't manage to get that right. And that comes down to poor leadership. And that's right. Why they will never build proper personal brands. You know, why doesn't the CEO of some of these, why don't the CEOs of some of these massive companies have personal brands? Well, I don't know if that means that their passion and the, it's not just a time thing. You can find time if something matters to you.
Of course.
Because your passion and your job aren't matching, because you have to have passion to build a brand, a personal brand.
Right. No, that makes sense, because at the end of the day, it's much more personable as your personal branding. But you say that it's more important to build out your personal brand first. And it's something that I didn't realize. And I know that a lot of people in the early stages aren't, because you're like, oh, I got to build up my company. I got to stand up for something through my brand. But if you say that the focus should be on building your personal brand first. And even, for example, like with powerful leaders, that you haven't really done much of the branding for that. When would you say it's appropriate to focus on the company branding?
Yeah, I mean, I really avoid trying to talk with a one size fits all approach. I think there's a lot of entrepreneurs, experts who say it's this way or no way. So, you know, I do think you can build a successful business without building a personal brand, 100%. I do not think it is a must. If you want to build a business brand first, build it. It just comes down to what your intrinsic motivator is with building that business. If you're building it just to make money, then yeah, you can set up some ads and you can do some SEO and you can sell some stuff without having a personal brand. Personal brands, right, proper ones, it's because they've got the passion. If you're leading with passion and you're leading with purpose and you're leading with impact, I think you need to go personal brand first, if that makes sense, because you've got to get the story out there. People need to connect to the story first, and then they'll connect with the business. But I'm not saying you have to do it to make a successful business. 100%. No way. Sure. There's loads of successful businesses with no personal brands.
Right.
If that business comes under any form of struggle, who's the leader that people are going to who's the leader that people are going to follow? We love stories. Humans love stories, right?
Yes.
That's why we watch films. That's why we read books. That's why we watch TV shows. We love stories. It's an enjoyment thing. So by not having a personal brand, you're missing off, I think, one of the biggest parts that's going to make you successful is telling stories.
Right. So what would you say are the most important components when it comes to personal branding? Because like I said, a lot of people focus on the very high level, surface level stuff, but the stuff that they should be really focusing on.
So when I was digging into this personal branding space a couple of years ago, when I decided to make this my like full-time focus, I identified 7 core components of powerful personal brands. And I think we're going to send the scorecard out, aren't we, for people to test themselves against those 7 things. The 7 things are, it doesn't matter what order you do them in necessarily, but I recommend doing them in the order that they're there. So the first one is clarity of your why, your vision, whatever you want to call it, your purpose, your vision, your why. You need to start by really understanding and digging deep into why you do what you do. If you don't know that and you don't truly know what you believe, it's very hard for anyone to follow you that's going to connect with more than just, that's going to properly connect with you. You know, Simon Sinek talks about your why and your what. Your what is what you do, right? It's the products, it's the services. Your why is why you do it. What no one cares about. Like, who of your friends really care about what you do? I don't think any of my friends really even know what I do. But they know why I do it. They know what I believe. They know what Hannah is about. And I think you need to start by first by Simon Sinek's book is awesome. Mm-hmm. Start with why. I think it is anyway. Start by understanding your why. Think about your values. Identify your 5 core values, which you will not falter from. I think, again, this is something which is overlooked and it's seen as like a marketing thing. But I know what my values are so much that if I have a sales call with somebody or somebody approaches me and the values don't match, it's not going to work. You need to set boundaries of who you are and what you stand for. So I think start by doing those things. The next thing is about thinking about your one thing, your niche. And it's not as linear as, you know, a certain industry or a certain audience. You can create your own niche, right? You can carve your own niche. It's the beauty of what we have now in the world. You know, you can create whatever you want. If there's an opportunity there, if you can identify an opportunity, you can create your own niche. But you need to be known for one thing. It doesn't have to be, oh, I'm a marketer. Oh, I'm this. Oh, I'm that. But it needs to be a something.
Right.
Something that people can hold on to. And then the next thing is, who do you serve? Who is the audience that you want to read your stuff online? Who is it? Because again, if you don't serve someone, you serve no one. So you need to think about who are they? What do they want? What do they think? What are they doing? What are they thinking? What are they eating? What are they listening to? You need to really think about the audience, because the thing is, you know, the internet is busy and it's a battle for attention, right? They're talking about attention is now the biggest commodity that everyone's looking for. And I don't think of myself in a battle for attention from a commercial perspective, but I think I want my audience to see my message. But there's lots of other people trying to get to them. So if you don't know them, you can sure as hell believe that somebody else does. So if you want your message to cut through the noise and you want your message to land with them, you've got to be very, very clear on who they are, what their pain points are, and all of those kinds of things. And I think if you get those three things right, the rest of it is all about really about building. You know, you now build the house once you've laid those foundations.
Right, right. And no, that makes sense. And then, you know, it's easier said than done. So in your experience, you know, working on your own personal branding and working with many clients, what would you say is the most common struggle and how do you overcome it when it comes to personal branding?
The niche, the one thing.
The one thing.
Yeah, I make jokes. I think I'm a professional person who annoys people. I'm a professional annoyer. I annoy everyone. I annoy my clients. I annoy my, when I run workshops, I annoy people. When I do speeches, I annoy people. I see them in the audience. I see their faces. I can see how much I'm annoying them because we don't want to fit in a box. We just don't want to. We don't want to believe that we fit in a box. But the thing is that for someone to remember you, they have to have something to attach to. And nobody ever has listened to, said to someone, so what do you do? And they've gone, oh, I do a few things, and wanted to hear the rest of that. Second someone says, I do a few things, brains turned off, hate it.
Right.
You've got to find a way to find a thing which you love enough to fit everything else underneath it. So, you know, personal branding is my thing. Oh my God, I have so many other interests that I can, that under personal branding that I do. I'm really passionate about leadership, about belief systems, about business, about productization, about time management, about fashion and like those kind of things, about confidence. I fit it all under one banner so that people just go, oh, Hannah Power, personal branding. It's all you can hope for, right? Hannah Power, personal branding. No matter what all of these, what everyone does, they're going to have that. Everyone's going to have that one thing. It's all you can hope for, right? That's why, you know, there are celebrities who, no matter what they do, are remembered for a certain film they were in, right? Friends, the Friends cast.
Yes.
You know, you can never see someone from Friends anywhere else and not go, that's Rachel, that's Ross, that's Chandler.
Yeah.
It's association. We have, that's how we remember things, by association. You've got to make sure that association is the right association, because you're only going to get one. Right. So you've got to make sure that one thing is the right thing. And you can change it and you can broaden it as time goes on. Absolutely. As you become more well-known, you can broaden. But at the beginning, it's got to be very, very specific and very niched. Otherwise, you're just going up against everybody else. I mean, once upon a time, I'm sure being a business coach was very niched, right? Now if someone goes, I'm a business coach, big business, small business, what type of business? Do you know what I mean? It's not going to work.
Right. Right. Yeah. Especially when you're small, because you need that association, that first feeling that comes to mind.
The less well-known you are, the more niched you need to be. You can broaden once you get more well-known. You can start to talk about other things. You can get more well-known as a person. But at the beginning, you've got to be very specific, especially now. I mean, I started building my brand as a personal branding specialist 2 years ago solely. If I was doing it now, I would have had to be a lot more niche than I was 2 years ago. Because there's when I first started, there's no personal branding specialists. Now I see them all the time. They have me on LinkedIn. I've spoken at an event where there's all personal branding specialists. Now, I don't have to be as niched because I was earlier to the game. But if somebody was coming into personal branding now, they would need to be more niched. Just like the coaching thing.
Yeah, no, I think coaching, especially nowadays, I think nowadays you have like business alignment coaches, you know, helping you align your business and your passion together. So lots of different coaches from a lot of different niches.
But I would say the thing about the coaches is they don't, it's all about them. It's not enough about the audience. I mean, right. I would love to hire a coach who specializes on working with ambitious millennial females who, you know, want to build a business that changes the world, but also at the same time wants to have babies at some point. But I don't get any coaches coming to me with that. I get very generalized six-figure coach. I don't need a six-figure coach or seven-figure coach. I don't believe it. First of all, I don't believe it when they come at me with that stuff.
Right. No, that makes sense. So to wrap up the first half of our conversation, the last question I really have for you is talking more about, it's a failure question. We've been asking all our speakers this because, you know, people might see Hannah Power as the personal branding specialist, you know, has her own business, but what they might not know is the struggle, you know, the ups and downs you had to go through to get to where you are today. So what is actually your most memorable failure? How did you have to overcome that failure? And what lesson did you learn from it? And how did that lesson actually play a role into your success today?
It's a good question. I mean, I think this concept failure is really dangerous because I think the word failure is so huge. It implies that your whole life has fallen apart, I think. Failure. It's so dramatic, right? It's like death. It's like, oh my God, it's the end. I think we fail all the time and we succeed all the time. I don't think it's a, I failed, then I succeeded. I think it's, I failed a bit, I succeeded a bit. I failed a bit, I succeeded a bit. I fail all the time now. Do you know what I mean? We fail. I fail all the time. I make the wrong decisions. I make errors. Who knows? Everything could go wrong tomorrow. I always think, I used to watch a lot of speeches from these successful entrepreneurs, and they used to say, they told their story in this way that was like, oh, it was all bad and now it's good. Be like me. I just think it's really dangerous because I just think, like, if anything, if I think about me at the beginning, right, I had no team when I was failing, let's say, when I made some poor decisions, which I'll come to in a second, but I didn't have as much responsibility and it was much easier to fail small. If I fail now, it's way bigger, right? I've got 9 members of staff. I've got like 25, 30 clients. Like if we fail now, it's bigger. So it might look like, oh, Hannah, she's got her business now, but actually you're just playing with bigger numbers and more important things. So failure now is a bigger deal than it was then. So I wouldn't want to say to someone, oh, I did all these errors and now I've succeeded, because I'm still failing. I'm still messing things up. We're always messing things up, making things up as we go along. And really, the more I learn that I don't know, it's actually bigger stuff that I have to keep learning. So I just think this concept of failure, you have to be very careful with, because I just think it's not linear. Nothing is linear. So much advice and speaking and coaching and YouTube and everything is so structured and linear, and it just says there's one way to do this and there's one way not to do this, and you'll fail here and then you might, it's not right. So I mean, I don't know. And then I think it's subjective. I mean, I started my first business, I closed it down, as in I didn't formally close it, didn't go anywhere. I started another business, it didn't really go anywhere. Powerful Leaders was technically my third go. When I started Powerful Leaders, I had been living in Bali for a year and I'd gone through a lot of stuff personally. I'd gone through, I moved to Bali because I was struggling badly with PTSD and I went over there to heal. I then realized I had quite a bad drinking problem. So I had to get through like stopping drinking. I don't drink anymore. I got myself into £20,000 of debt starting these businesses, right? With the bank, NatWest, actually, they live right opposite me, my best friends. they lent me all this money and I blew it, right? I didn't know what I was doing. And I came back from Bali and everyone would have possibly perceived me as a success. I was a digital nomad and then I started Powerful Leaders and I had £20,000 of debt and I lived at my auntie's house in her spare room. And I just started, and people might say that's a failure, you know, I could sell that to you as, I got into all of this debt and then I failed at my first two businesses and oh my God, and now look at me, I'm amazing. That's not what it is. That's not what happened.
Right.
I lived my life. I was still happy. I made bad decisions. I make bad decisions now. It's not linear. So I think try not to make failure this whole thing. It can't be a whole thing. It's small things. Small failures, small successes. That's life, right? Little bits of highs, little lows. Little highs, little lows. It's not like when I'm here, I'll be happy. When I'm here, I'll be a failure. It's not as linear as that. And I just think it's a really important concept. I don't know if this really answers your question, but I just think it's a really important concept that we don't hang everything on. And sometimes I used to think I'm going to fail at some point. All successful entrepreneurs have failed. Well, I might, I might not fail big, but I might fail small. And if you add up all my small failures, they would add up to a big one. So for me, I think it's just about always questioning what these terms mean for you. There is no one size fits all solution. Failure to one person, failure to me is building a business that makes money but doesn't do it with integrity. That to me is failure.
Right.
So certain people running certain businesses, which I know use marketing tactics which focus on scarcity and FOMO to make people buy things that aren't actually going to help them, or create e-commerce businesses where they're selling stuff that they never touch and they sell crap to the end user through a Facebook ad. And then that person tries to get a refund and the business is closed down. To me, that is failure. To somebody else who's made a few million pounds, that might be success. My personal failure is building a business which isn't built with integrity, that doesn't make its, that doesn't keep a happy team, that doesn't make me fulfilled, and that doesn't make its clients happy and successful. So my failure is different probably to yours and to everybody else's. So failure is subjective, just like success is subjective. So you've got to define what your definition of success is and what your definition of failure is.
Yeah, I totally agree. I think, no, you answered it beautifully. And I, this is why I love asking this question, is because what my, my goal is to help our audience reframe the way they see failure. Because they're like me, I was the one that was terrified of failure because, you know, I grew up in a traditional Asian family, and going through school, if you didn't do good in grades, you know, that defined you. Even if you did poorly on a single exam, we were trained, right? Or like we grew up in a, I would say I grew up in that society where it's like, that's why I was terrified of trying something new. I was terrified of like, what if I don't like nail it in the first time? And like, I know that not just me, but there are people out there that know also struggle with it. But as an entrepreneur, you know, you got to be okay with looking like a fool. You got to be okay with putting yourself out there and knowing that you're probably not going to get it right the first time around. And like you said, like failure is really what depends on how you see it. Your perception is your reality. And you know, I just want people, so I just want people to see it in a different way. And I think that the way you answered it was beautiful in a way where it's so true. And I think it's such a powerful message to the people who are watching, because it is up to them.
And I think just to add on to that, and I know we need to move on, but you know, there's that great phrase that says, if you tell a fish to climb a tree, it will spend its whole life thinking it's stupid. You know that phrase?
Yes, I do.
What I found really interesting is the way that society views intelligence and views success, again, is very linear. So for example, I've met people before, and I'm going to use an example here, who say that they're not smart or they don't have a good memory, and then have talked to me about a sport and the analytics of a sport and every single game that was ever played. And you listen to them. And I think this understanding that you have of this sport, the knowledge, the memory that you have of the players, of the goals that were scored, all of these things. I mean, it's incredibly intelligent. That it's just your mind works in a different way to somebody else who was good at doing a biology paper. You know, my ex-boyfriend dropped out of university, and he had this perception that he wasn't, you know, like super smart in certain ways. But the way that he could talk about football and cricket, I literally was like fascinated by, because he could talk about football and cricket in more detail and in more of an intelligent way than I could talk about personal branding and business. And I class myself as somebody who's quite good at those things, but his memory, he could tell you every game that his team had ever played. I just think we put everything in these boxes, right? If you're good at business, you're smart. If you're good at school, you're smart. You know, smart. What does smart mean?
Yeah.
You know, I just think it's about questioning these things.
Yeah.
And people, oh, I've not got a good memory. And then they can tell you every single thing that happened, like in the Game of Thrones. It's just that they haven't got a good memory for stuff that's irrelevant to them. Do you see what I mean?
For sure. No, for sure. I totally agree.
It's about the context of the smart. It's about the context of the memory. So if you're repeatedly not doing well at something, it's probably the wrong thing. It's probably not your ability, but then we knock our confidence, right? Yeah. We knock our confidence down. We think, oh, I mean, I've spent loads of time thinking, didn't do very well in my degree. I scraped a 2-1. Did I think I was stupid at the time? Absolutely. In hindsight, wrong degree, terrible, terrible teachers, wrong culture, stupid way of assessing it. I did law. I'd have been a great lawyer. I was terrible at a degree. Do you know what I mean? Put me up in front of people and I could definitely argue a case either side, but put me through a law degree, stupid, terrible grades, unhappy, felt stupid. It's just about context, and we've got it so wrong in society, but I think we're going to fix it. I do.
For sure. And I think that's super promising because I wanted to go get into law too. I loved the debates. I was like, oh, that'd be so fun. But then when you go through the nitty gritties of actually have to study case law and all that stuff, you're like, yeah, I can't do it. Like, it's just not me. I don't think I can sit hours and hours and study case after case and try and build cases around precedent.
So stupid.
Exactly. Hannah, I just really, by wrapping this first half up, I just really want to thank you for not sharing your expertise, but honestly, just your years of experience in helping other people define what their personal brands are through their message and their mission to serve others. And that's the most important thing, because I think that is the focus. At the end of the day, if you build a business that you want to create impact, it is so important for people to actually be in front of the camera, be, I guess, the face of their company, because people follow people, not brands at the end of the day.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Plan to Fail. Remember, you can achieve the life you've always wanted. Thank you so much for being a part of this community. And until next time, stay hungry.